Your most recent visit to NICU was in 2001, but I understand that was the sixth Tiger expedition to the island. Could you describe a little bit about the earlier research and what brought Tiger to the hypothesis that this was the place?
Sure. And for detailed information, this is all in our recent book published through Altamira Press called Amelia Earhart's Shoes, Is the Mystery Solved? And it goes into the details about our hypothesis and how we've pursued it over the years. But just in general, we were attracted to Nick Mororo initially for a couple of reasons. One was that Earhart had been flying on a course that would have taken her to Nika Mororo if she had not found Howland Island, and she obviously did not find Howland Island. The line of position that she said she was flying on, 157-337 degrees, when plotted through Howland Island, also runs through Nika Mororo. So it seemed like a logical place for her to have wound up. There were also radio signals received after she disappeared that were, at the time, thought to emanate from the Phoenix Islands, from the vicinity of Nika Mororo. Those were later discounted as hoaxes, but with no particular reason for dismissing them as such. So we felt that it was a good place to search, and that we might be able to find actual physical evidence, which of course is where archaeology comes in, that archaeological methods were obviously what was needed to look for those pieces of physical evidence.
Was there any physical evidence that that anybody knew about prior to Tiger's research?
Well, sort of. We found that in 1960, a fellow named Floyd Kiltz had given a story to the San Diego Tribune in which he said that when he was on the island in 1946 as a Coast Guardsman dismantling a Loran station, he had been told by a native that bones had been found on the island in 1938, and that these had been found with a woman's shoe, American kind, and that the Irish magistrate on the island had immediately thought of Earhart, put the bones in a gunny sack, and started out to row to Fiji to give with other colonists to turn them over to the authorities there. But that 24 hours out of Fiji, he had died of pneumonia, whereupon the colonists had thrown the bones overboard. Well, interesting story. We had no way of verifying it or disverifying it. But we did know that although there had never been an Irish magistrate, there had been an Irish civil servant, a British civil servant of Irish extraction, Gerald Gallagher, who had run the Phoenix Island settlement scheme. And while nobody would jump into a four-oared boat to row to Fiji 1,000 miles away, there was a four-oared boat on the island that was used to lighter stuff out to ships and so on. So there was enough to suggest that somebody had told somebody something that indicated that something had been found back there in the late 30s. So that was another thing that made us interested, but we didn't know exactly what to do with it. So we went there in 1989 and ended up conducting a general survey, both underwater down to about 150 feet, and on the island itself, got a general idea of what the island was like, and found a number of airplane parts in the old colonial village. Most of those were not identifiable as to type, but a couple of them are more similar to a Lockheed Electra 10E than anything else that's flown around in the area. Nothing definitive, however. We also found an isolated grave about halfway down the island, and in 1991, a Tiger group went back and, with the permission of the Kiribati government, excavated that grave, which the leadership of Tiger thought might contain the bones that allegedly had been found there in the late 1930s. The grave predictably turned out to be the remains of a local child, were very carefully replaced and reburied. However, while that was going on, parts of a shoe were found nearby, And the shoe turned out to be from the 1930s, a woman's shoe closely resembling shoes that Earhart was wearing on the flight. This on an island where people didn't wear shoes much. There's also an underwater side-scan sonar survey done around the reef that year. In subsequent years, there were efforts to check out stories that we heard from other Coast Guardsmen who had been on the island during World War II, additional underwater work, and, quite a variety of things. In 1997, we went back to the island and did some fairly detailed work in the colonial village, found more airplane parts, most of which we really can't assigned to any particular aircraft. But coming away from that expedition, we also encountered some people in the nation of Tuvalu on the island of Funafuti who recalled they had grown up on the island before the colony was abandoned, and they had stories of aircraft wreckage being found on the reef near north of the colonial village. So that was very interesting to us. Then after we had come back, one of our members was doing research in the National Archives of the Republic of Kiribati and came upon a file of documents that turned out to be wireless traffic between Gallagher, the administrator on Nikumaroro, and the colonial authorities back in Fiji, in which he reported officially the discovery of a skeleton, which he thought was a woman's skeleton, and he thought might be Amelia Earhart's. It was associated with a woman's shoe. It was also associated with a sextant box with some numbers on it, a Benedictine bottle, and a number of other items, including the remains of a fire and bird and turtle bones that indicated that this castaway, who was now a skeleton, had lived there for a while.
So were you able to confirm that this skeleton had indeed been found?
We got a team over to Henslow Park in England, where the archives of the Western Pacific High Commission are kept, and were able to get a great deal more data on the discovery of the skeleton. Turned out that, I say skeleton, there were 13 bones of the skeleton, mostly the larger bones. And Gallagher doesn't describe, he doesn't give us a map, but he did tell us that it was on the southeast corner of the island, that it was lying under a tree, and that the bones of birds and turtles were nearby, along with a campfire.
And of course, these bones were subsequently lost, because this discovery took place just before World War II, that's correct?
Yes. Gallagher, at his authority's direction, sent them to Fiji. And there they were analyzed by a Dr. David Hoodless, a medical doctor. And Dr. Hoodless concluded that they were the remains of an adult European male. He was then holding them for government as of 1941, when World War II in the Pacific broke out. And we have no record of them after that time.
All right, so in 2001, last year, when you came to the island, you had some pretty good evidence, not conclusive, that Amelia was there. So what was your strategy during that field season?
Well, I should say that we had found, among the documents we'd found, were the notes that Dr. Hoodless had taken on his analysis. And we turned those over to our forensic anthropologist, Dr. Karen Burns. And she and a colleague reanalyzed the measurements using modern forensic anthropological methods and concluded that the bones were most similar to those of an adult European female, about 5'7" to 5'9", which is a dead ringer for Earhart. I should also say that in 1999, when we did some work in Fiji, we encountered a woman, Emily Sekuli, who had been a girl on the island in the late 1930s, that left in 1941, had never been back, and she recalled seeing aircraft wreckage on the reef north of the village, which corroborated earlier information we had. So when we went back in 2001, we had two basic goals. One was to look at the reef in the area where Mrs. Sekuli reported wreckage, and try to see if we could find any aircraft wreckage. The other was to do a detailed archaeological inspection on the southeast end of the island. In 1996, we had had a team that had been at that end of the island, and they had found some debris, clearly from the colonial period, and with the debris was a hole in the ground. Well, it hadn't meant anything to us at the time, but Gallagher tells us that when the skull, when the burial, the skeleton was first found, the skull was buried by its finders, and he was then going to excavate the skull and reunite it with the rest of the bones and send it to Fiji. So now we thought, well, maybe that hole that we saw in 1996 was where the skull had been buried. The skull had only 5 teeth when it went to Fiji. That could mean that there were more teeth remaining in the back dirt from the hole, or in the hole itself. Teeth are excellent reservoirs of mitochondrial DNA, so if we could find teeth, we could find out pretty much who the castaway had been. So the hole was our big target, and the idea was to do a very detailed archaeological study of the hole and its immediate vicinity and see if it might be where the castaway was found and if we could find any teeth.
So in the 2001 field season, you focused on that area and put in some excavation units, is that correct?
That's right. We first had to clear the area. Much of the island is covered with a very, very dense, nasty foliage called Scaevola frutescens, a very nasty kind of brush. And we had to clear our way into the area where the hole was and then clear its vicinity so that we could look at the area in detail and put in our excavations. And as we were doing that, we came upon a series of small fire features, that is, locations where clearly a fire had burned. And associated with those features were fish bones, bird bones, and turtle bones, which naturally reminded us of what Gallagher had reported. So we ended up excavating not only the hole, but also a number of these fire features, plus a couple of other test pits in areas where metal detecting turned up significant hits that suggested that there was metal buried in the ground. So that was basically what we ended up doing, clearing, detailed surface inspection, and excavation of a number of units aimed both at the hole and at these fire features.
So at the end of your work, what kind of evidence did you come away with that you're working on now that is central to your investigation about Amelia?
Well, unfortunately, we didn't find any teeth. We excavated very, very carefully, put everything through quarter and eighth inch screens and scanned it with ultraviolet lights and didn't find any teeth. But with the fire features, we found a lot of faunal remains, bird, fish, and turtle remains, and also shellfish remains, the remains of giant clams. The giant clams have been broken in a very interesting way. Somebody has tried to open them rather crudely by prying at the hinge and beating on them with rocks, very different from the way a Pacific Islander would have tried to open them. That's sort of suggestive. We have a number of artifacts associated with the material that we're in the process of analyzing that just might be associated with a sextant box or other kinds of instruments. Unfortunately, there's also a good deal of evidence of later activity there. The Coast Guardsmen were clearly there. There are M1 carbine rounds lying around. There were pieces of corrugated iron lying on the surface. Somebody was up there doing something with corrugated iron. We've got a lot of stuff to sort out, but we think it's quite likely that we have now the location where the castaway was found. Whether that castaway was Amelia Earhart or not, we can't tell, but we've got a lot of material still being analyzed.
So what is the possible outcome of the analysis of that material? What might you expect or hope to find from the analyses that are going on right now?
Well, I don't think we're going to find out. We're not going to be able to say absolutely, certainly, no question about it, this was where Amelia Earhart lived and died. I think we may very well be able to say at the end of the day this is where Gallagher's castaway was found, and the castaway was or was not likely to be a local person, was or was not likely to be a Pacific Islander, based on the way that the various birds, fish, and turtle were acquired and processed, what kinds of animals they are, where they were, what their habitats were, how they would have been gotten, and how they would have been prepared. We may find that some of the artifacts that we're analyzing are distinctive and associated with things like the sextant box that was found there in 1940 with the skeleton. Beyond that, I think we're looking at just having enough evidence to make it worthwhile to go back there and do some more work.
What would lead you back there? What kind of evidence would cause you to go back and look for more evidence?
Well, we only excavated three of the fire features, and there are at least three more that we know of, and we haven't really explored the area completely. It's so heavily vegetated. We only removed one of the deposits of clams. There's at least one more. We haven't, we could spend a lot of time there searching the surface and doing more excavation, looking for artifacts. There are other possibilities of places where teeth might be. In short, what we've got is a site that we have found and done a sort of once-over lightly survey and test excavation on that deserves a great deal more work.
So do you think that there's a reasonable possibility that you could find that smoking gun evidence to confirm that this is where Amelia Earhart was?
Well, smoking gun is one possibility, and I should say that we're not only going to look at the site, what we call the Seven site, where we think the bones were found in 1940. We're also interested in going back and doing more work in the Colonial Village, which is the only place we found aircraft parts, and we might very well find a smoking gun there. We're interested in doing more work underwater, which is probably where any large parts of the airplane remain, if they do remain. So we're interested in doing all those things. Whether we will ever find a smoking gun or not is questionable. In archaeology, you just often don't. In science, you often don't. You often wind up with a preponderance of evidence that points you in one direction or another. And eventually you get to the point of being able to say with reasonable certainty that X is what happened. Whether we are at that point yet with the evidence we've collected on the Kamaroro is really not for me to say. I think we need to do more work to be absolutely sure. I think we're on the right track.
We'll all be looking forward to hearing more about the research that you're doing and your next visit to the island. Thank you very much, Tom, for taking the time to answer our questions.
Okay, thank you very much.